Good morning. Well, I think we should offer leftovers this Sunday. I don't know what's going on, but I welcome everyone here and thank you for being here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this time, if you'll take your red pad and sign it with the name, address, email, that type of information, and pass it down if there's anyone on your row. Remind you that adult Sunday school started today. Children's Sunday school will start next Sunday. Deacons are meeting today after worship. The Women's Association is meeting today after worship. The Valley Newsletter was sent out an email and there are copies on the back table. We're starting September 30th. Announcements will be delivered using the microphone. Please submit your church-related announcements to me prior to the services. More details may be found in the Valley, and if you write them out, make sure that they're legible, print, type, however, if you do cursive, make sure that I can read them. The Valley Gardeners will meet September 17th at 7 to harvest the produce for the food bank so it can be taken over. And this Thursday, September the 20th, the Women's Association luncheons resume. The main course is lasagna. Luncheon hours 11:30 to 1, price is 8, and takeouts are available. And as always, I imagine they can use some help and maybe some pies or cakes, that type of thing. And you can call Linda, certainly, to talk about it. Choir practice has resumed at 7:30 on Thursdays, and you can talk to Mickey about that. And communicants class will be held every other Sunday in 7th grade or higher. You can contact Cliff, and that class is being taught currently, right now, up in my office. And to anyone 7th grade or up, even an adult can go up if you'd like to. And so it's basic Christian understanding. And Bread of Life Food Pantry is ongoing, so you can bring those things over. Any other announcements that need to be made at this time? Carol? Okay. Just a short meeting to approve something. Any other announcements? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise is 276. Christ is made the sure foundation.
Thank you.
Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we believe you spoke the universe into existence. We understand that your words accomplish what they set out to accomplish. Help us to use our words to draw people closer to Jesus. Forgive us when we do not hurt and offend. Teach us how to build up and not tear down. Forgive us for gossiping. Forgive us for being negative. Help us to be positive. May we build your church in love. Remind us of the power of the tongue for good or for evil. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take just a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join together once again this morning with a sense of unity as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Someone's name you don't know or not sure of, be sure to ask.
Fellow members of our congregation, please stand and join us in a special song of celebration.
This almost gave me a heart attack because I looked down here and you said a song, and I looked and said, but I don't have that in PowerPoint. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very beautiful. Our responsive reading is Psalm 40 in the back of your red hymnals, page 700. We're listing 700, Psalm 40. I'll read the first paragraph, you'll read the second, and then on the last one, I'm going to break it in half and I'll tell you when to come in. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord.
Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many of the Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. No one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell them, they would be too many to compare.
Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here am I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. Take over, please.
I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips.
I'd like to open up this portion of the service for the pastoral prayer. You can peruse the back of your bulletin and see some names listed. Dorothy Gill, still in St. Margaret's, and hopefully getting better. Patty Adele Miller's daughter had surgery and doing much better. Paul Ruby, at home recuperating. I called last night, but didn't hear back from them, so I'm going to stop on the way home. June White recuperating quite nicely, and Suzanne again in service recuperating. Nancy, talked to her last week, still trying to get her energy back, but making some progress. And Marcia Huff, they said we could take her off the list. And as you know, Art is not doing very well. And then Verna and Ron, let's continue to keep them in our prayers. Anyone else? Any updates?
Continue prayers for my Aunt Margie. She has she had breast cancer and recuperating. Now she has cancer cells in her lungs and she is not doing well at all. Not facing it very well. So prayers that she
okay, for her Aunt Margie with cancer, for comfort. And also while we're doing this, I needed to make an announcement. There are dishes from last week that are on the table in the back from the pig roast last week and maybe some other ones too, but you can, if you didn't get your dishes, they're on the table in the back. Yeah, there's Carol. Yeah, I sent an email out, but all of y'all don't get that. But she went over Thursday, having a little rough time getting adjusted. She does not have a phone in her room yet. There's one on her hall. You can go over and eat with her if you like. 12 or at 5, it's $5 to eat. I ate there Thursday night with her. It was pretty good. And so the biggest meal is lunch, but you can go at any time from, I believe, 8 to 8 and visit with her, room 323, corner of Babcock.
May have to hunt her.
She's probably starting to get out and get a little more adjusted. So, good. Mural, a good checkup report of thanks for husband Bob and for Diane that the house pending sale will sell.
Dorothy Gill asked me to thank everybody for their cards and months, and she had a little rough period, but now she's saying with all the prayers that she's glad to be alive and getting better.
Prayer thanks from Dot Gill. Anyone else, Suzanne? Okay, good.
Get it off.
Thank you, I love hearing that. Thanks from Suzanne, and you said Anna and Bob, continue to pray for. Yeah, I called him up and told him trees are attacking him. So. And prayer for Jimmy Oliver. Yes, Suzanne. Microsoft, AOL, Apple, they're never going to call you. I saw a hand over here. Yes. Okay, for faith for diverticulitis. It's a tough thing. Prayer for her. Yes. Okay. Word of advice, don't answer anything anybody gives to you. You contact them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day because this is the day that you have made. Help us to rejoice within it, to be positive, to have a spirit that uplifts those around us and ourselves included, to speak words of edification that builds up the body of Christ, that helps others. Sometimes that is very hard to do, but give us the strength to do it through the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to draw closer to you, because we know through the scriptures that you promised to draw closer to us, and you've promised to never leave us and never forsake us. So we pray today the names and situations that we've lifted before you and listed in our Valley newsletter and our bulletin, those that have been spoken, those that are silent today. We come into agreement, asking that you meet these needs out of your wisdom and love and compassion. We thank you for loving us, for touching us, for giving us the gift of salvation and the promise of eternal life. Help us to have the courage to give the good news to others, that they can understand who Jesus is, being the way, the truth, and the life. That they can find a sense of peace and get their lives headed in the right direction. And remind us that becoming a Christian doesn't mean that all of our problems just immediately go away, because they don't. We still have our struggles, our temptations, but you are there with us to help us, to give us strength. We thank you for that. And help us to help one another. Help us to be the men and women, boys and girls that you have called us to be. Help our church to be the church that you have called it to be in all areas of its existence. Help us as teachers and leaders, as musicians, as we go into our neighborhoods, as members of this church, living our lives out before others, that we live it to the best of our ability. And when we do sin or do wrong, that we know we can confess those sins before you. Thank you for that, Lord, that we do not have to continue to hold on to guilt. We can let it go and move on and hopefully not do it again. Help us to get rid of all the negative things in our lives. Anything that would hold us back from being closer to you. And we thank you for the wonderful examples that you set before us and we thank you for this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is a contemporary song on the screen, Awesome God. And our God is awesome. Let's bow for prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, once again we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, and we thank you that you were willing to go to it and suffer and die and be buried. But we thank you that the grave could not hold you, and in 3 days you rose and you showed yourself. Then you ascended into heaven and you sent back the Holy Spirit to empower your church. We thank you for that. We thank you for every positive thing that you have done for us, every good gift that has come from above. Help us to use these gifts for your glory, for the church, that we can be positive and move forward, and we can share your name and all the wonderful things that you have done in this world, and even specifically in our own lives. Thank you, Lord. As pastor, I ask that you touch each person's life this day, this week. Let them feel your love. Let them feel your presence. Let them know that you are there with them every step of the way. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend, we do pray. Amen. Thank you. As Bill comes forth to read the scripture this morning, I want you to know we've been advertising that other people can read, and Bill does such a wonderful job not only reading the scripture, but giving some information about it. But I'd like for you to know that if you would like to read the scripture, you do not have to give that introduction. You can just read the scripture if you would like to. So don't be intimidated by that. Anyone is welcome, and Bill is more than happy to share this responsibility. And thank him for teaching this morning. If you'd have been in class, it was a wonderful, wonderful job of teaching this morning. So he'll be back doing it next Sunday, and I hope you can show up at 9:30, bring your coffee, and be a part of it, or tea, or water, or whatever.
I just would like to say the first line of the scripture almost caused me not to come.
Yeah, I thought about that, and I'm sorry.
Today's scripture was written by James, a brother of Jesus. In his letter to the early Christians, he addressed many of the difficulties that was facing the early church. He talks about pride, power, discrimination, greed, lust, hypocrisy, worldliness, gossiping, and backbiting. Our today's scripture addresses these two. Now in Hebrews 13:8, Paul says, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. And I truly believe there's a corollary to this that says that man is the same yesterday and today and forever. So James' message is for us as well as for the early Christians. So please listen to your personal message from God as I read James 3:1-12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, Bill, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all submit in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault, I'm sorry, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. May God bless the continued reading and hearing of his holy word.
Thank you. Almost called Bill last night. Realizing this is his first Sunday school class and thinking that never dawned on me about the teacher thing and him. And this in no way was about Bill. I'm a lectionary preacher, I've said many times, and last week I didn't use a lectionary passage because it was the first Sunday back, and I wanted to preach on the Great Commission. They were to spread the gospel, the good news, out into all the world. Now this week I'm back to the lectionary passage. It's a cycle of 3 years, and you're given four passages to choose from. So Old Testament, a gospel, and epistles. And today I chose this epistle. And just so happens it was talking about teachers. But as I'm talking about this, I don't want you just to think about a teacher like me, or like Bill, or like Cliff, or Vacation Bible School, or whatever. I want you to think of all of us as teachers in a sense, because we are the priesthood of believers. When you talk to your children, you are a teacher of the faith. When you share the gospel, even the lowest level of just saying Jesus is Lord, like for you to accept him, in a sense, you are a teacher. Living your life out in public as a Christian, you are a teacher of the faith. One of the most popular shows from last season, returning this fall, with ads asking potential audiences, what would you do if you weren't handicapped by sight? The Voice is a talent show that judges in the dark, so to speak. You know, the chairs are turned around backwards. It requires them to judge all the contestants only on the quality of their voice. Nothing else. The judges' backs are turned and they never see the performer. Power, poise, presence, emotion, excitement. It all has to be conveyed to the judges only by the sound of their voices, not by the seamy showmanship. The power to convince, convict, and control is in the contestants' own hands. It is in their tongues. The power of the tongue was a central concern to James in today's text. And what power it has. Did you know that the tongue can lift up to 80 times its own weight? And what power it has. In fact, it is the strongest muscle in the body. The only other muscle that comes close, and I don't know if I'm going to say this right, is the masseter muscle. That's the thick muscle in the cheek located in the back of the jaw that opens and shuts the mouth. But it's not technically a muscle, since it's also made up of bones. It does, however, clamp the mouth shut. And the need to clamp the mouth shut at times is the theme of the message of the text from James this morning. When read aloud, as Bill just did, James' words create a reverberating reminder of just how influential and how potentially damaging the sound of one's voice can be within a community. James begins by cautioning the community that not many of them should aim to be teachers, that is, also leaders who expound via verbal images and stories the kingdom of God in front of the community of faith. Only those who have managed to bridle their own tongues, to voluntarily put a bit in their own mouths, turning control of themselves over to another master. Only those individuals should take up the title of teacher or leader. And I remind you, it's not just pastor, it's not just Sunday school teachers. This means elders and deacons and women of the church, Vacation Bible School, and all of us, because Hebrews calls us the priesthood of believers. And in a sense, we're all teachers. But teachers are defined by the title sometimes, or those voices that resonate and influence far beyond themselves. Gang leaders in every city who lead by the creed of violence and cruelty is the only way to garner authority and respect, or in a sense, teachers. Adolf Hitler was a teacher for a generation of embittered Europeans. Osama bin Laden was a teacher for a generation of embittered Middle Easterners. Eric Harris and Dylan Cabold, the Columbine High School assassins, were teachers for another school tragedies that followed after 1999. But badness is not really the focus of James's text. It is the power of the tongue, the power of the persuasiveness of our words that they wield. And James wants to announce this to the audience. Is there anyone here today who hasn't felt bombarded by the power over the past few weekends? Political ads are assaulting our eardrums every day. Debates and declarations are at deafening decibels. There is an increasing of ugliness over the airwaves. Free speech is one of the hallowed hallmarks of our political system. It is the basis upon which rests and wrestles. But speech is purposely hurtful and divisive, laced with infamy and animosity, is not free. It costs us greatly. Words that are woven together in order to smear, spear, and skewer do not build up the kingdom. They inject what James calls deadly poison into a world and work against the witness of God's love for all people. Whether the words are red or blue, vicious verbal attacks leaves our souls, I believe, with a black eye and our communal bodies with a bruised heart. Every year, just prior to election, the major candidates declare that they don't like negative ads and they will not be doing any mudslinging. And how long does that last? Candidates use these tongue-lashing tactics because the number crushers in the campaign headquarters tell them that negative ads work. People love to watch and listen to tongues that taunt the worst about others. Tirades that tear down the other. Testimonies to the atrocities of the opponent. How bad and how evil they are. Why? Because bad news sells. And bad news sells big. This week's text challenges Christians of all political leanings to think about the tolls that such speech takes on the body of Christ. In fact, when James was writing the epistle in 2012, he might challenge Christians to start a new mantra: negative ads do not work for me. A monstrous tongue set fire to the spirit of love is the distinguishing heart of a Christian community. Chewing on tongues that drip with deadly poisons does not benefit anyone. Neither red nor blue wins, not in the left or the right, not in the world, not in the church. The kingdom of God loses when we call ourselves a Christian nation and then use our tongues to destroy. The power of the tongue can cut both ways. Christians should cultivate a reputation of having wagging tongues for being the greatest gossip hounds in the community. We should be gossipers. The body of Christ should be telling tales all over this town, all over this city, and all over the world. But the telling we should be telling should be good gossip, not bad, negative gossip. When was the last time you told someone who offered some gracious, kind act on your behalf? What if instead of wailing about the rude driver who cut you off in traffic, you told a story about someone that you saw open the door at the grocery store or some market or somewhere, open the door for an elderly person who was having trouble? Why don't you add to the water cooler gossip by mentioning how many times a colleague cleaned out the coffee pot and brewed a fresh cup or pot of coffee? How about instead of wagging your finger at the soccer coach, you thank them for helping out the team? Instead of always complaining about your spouse, and find something to compliment them about. The scriptures say that our words should be used to edify and to build up the body of Christ. In the spirit of Forrest Gump, like my mama said, if you can't find something good to say about somebody, just don't say anything. Now that's Southern. Good gossip is what the Christian body, the church, each one of us should be spreading. Good gossip. Good things about our lives and about the church and about our family. We are the community charged with ushering in the kingdom of God, not grumbling about the church and our leaders and about our family church members. Christians do not need to argue endlessly over whether the glass is half empty or half full. Christians just need to drink out of the fire hose that is hooked up to the fountain of life, to Jesus Christ, great gulps of the water of life that renews and sustains us no matter what happens in the world or our neighborhood or even in our church. Our tongues should proclaim only the good news, the gospel. And that should be the reality that is guiding our lives. I called my father the other day. He's turning 84 in October. And he was down. I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "The bombings." I said, "Why has that got you down?" I said, "I watched the news. I don't like it." And come to find out, he'd been sitting in front of the TV for hours and hours watching the same news over and over and over and over and over and over and over, being hammered by negativity, being hammered by evil. And it brings you down. This is not a great rendition, but it's called The Helping Hand. French painter Emile, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, Renouf or Renaud, you can tell me after the service, those of you who know, painted a marvelous picture in 1881 called The Helping Hand. Depicts an old fisherman, as you can see in the boat. He's got his hands on the oar. Maybe this is his granddaughter. And you can see it. It's hard to see, I know, but her little hands are reaching up on the oar. I guess he's told her, or she's asked if she could help, and he says yes. And she is helping him row. And she feels like she is doing a great task. She's doing something good. She's helping maybe her grandfather. But it is his weathered arms, his strong arms, that is actually doing the rowing. Her hands are just kind of on the oar. As he moves it, her hands, I imagine, are just moving with it. You know, God grants us the favor of the oars. The grace of driving the ship of Zion, the church, through the high seas, the privilege of the mission of the church in this world where people are dying and drowning. But we must never forget who is really the one who gives us the strength of the oars, whose hands are really on the oars. We cannot perform our mission on our own strength, but only as God gives us the strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we forget the source of our power, we begin to faint, we begin to get weary, and we begin to complain, and we begin to blame. We must remember that the voice we speak must echo the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must be on fire for God rather than our tongue setting fires of devastation and destruction. If your tongue is set ablaze by hell, heaven help all of us. But if your tongue is set on fire by the Holy Spirit, then the gates of hell cannot stand up to you. There's so much negativity in the world. I want to share a couple of stories quickly with you. True stories. 2012, the 70th anniversary of the death of Shep, the faithful sheepdog who waited 6 years at a train station for his dead master to return. The dog's vigil began in 1936 when Shep watched baggage men load the casket carrying his master, a shepherd, onto a train. From then until Shep died, the dog met each of the four daily Great Northern Railway passenger trains every day as they arrived in that central Montana town, Fort Benton, hoping that his master would be on that train. The station employees took care of Shep and nicknamed him Forever Faithful. And he lived around the station and became well known to everyone who passed through. The vigil ended in 1942 when Shep would put his paws on the track to feel for the vibrations to know when the train was coming. On that last day, he fell beneath the arriving train and was run over. There's a statue of him. True story. So faithful, so loving, so giving. A statue was put up in 1994. There's another Shep story. Some of the congregation actually sent it to me. I don't remember who. I think maybe two or three people did. Wisconsin resident John Unger rescued Shep, different spelling, when he was just an 8-month-old puppy. Shep is now 19 years old and has arthritis so bad that he cannot sleep at night. The only way that he can get any relief is every night John Unger takes his hurting dogs in his arms and he walks into Lake Superior and he lulls him to sleep while he's cradling him in his arms. A photographer friend of Unger's decided to capture this relationship, and she posted it on her Facebook wall. It's a true story. The look on the dog's face says it all, or the look on John Unger's face. And that's exactly what James is telling Christians this morning. We cannot be putting one another down. We need to be cradling each other with compassion and forgiveness. In a world where people love to wag their tongues, we have to learn to wag them for God's glory. I often wonder why people have to use their tongues for so much destruction, for so much ill will. And it perplexes me at times why we have to try to destroy other people. Why do we have to hurt God's church with gossip, with negativity? Why set fires of destruction? Why use tongues for evil when we could be using them for so much good? I'm asking you this morning as your pastor, I'm asking you as a congregation to make a commitment to yourselves, to one another, to God, to measure your words carefully, to think before you speak. So once you've said something, you can never take it back. Once you do something, it is done. The scriptures are telling you not to be involved in gossip or hurtful words, not to speak it, and not to listen. The scriptures are telling you to only speak words that edify and build up the body of Christ. And I'm asking you as a pastor that we as a congregation set a policy that we not allow negativity to rule our language or our actions. Instead, we will be positive, we will think, we will speak, we will act in a positive and an uplifting manner. This also means not getting caught up in listening to someone who is negative and putting others down, which can be hard to do at times. Because negative people have a way of trying to bring you down to their level. Because people who are unhappy with life, believe it or not, they want you to be unhappy too. Instead, help them to be positive. Help them to find a sense of gratitude for their life, for their family, for their friends, for their marriage, for their home, for their church, for their God. Let's use our strongest muscle for good. Let's use it for God. And remember, only you can prevent a fire of destruction. You know, someone's life and reputation may be on the tip of your tongue. If you're listening to someone talk bad about someone, and you're joining in, what makes you think that they're not going to talk bad about you? May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, The Solid Rock, 404. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary, I hope you felt safe and loved and at peace. I hope you feel a positive spirit. And I hope you go back into the world with a positive spirit and a sense of gratitude as you tell others about Jesus and the peace that they can find in his loving arms. And may you go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.